8:43, back with Rich and Ryan in the morning. Pleased to be joined now by the Northfield City Administrator, Mr. Ben Martig. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
Good morning, Rich. Good morning, Ryan. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Doing well, thanks.
Are you adjusting to your new time slot? Does it feel weird for you to be this late?
I would say the second time coming in now, it's starting to already feel a little bit normal.
That's good.
I wish it was a little warmer outside. It's starting to, this cold weather. It's that time of year in Minnesota. It's just kind of dragging out,
It's brutal.
Yeah. But hey, we're here, we're warm, we'll take it, right?
Yeah, we have places to be where it's warm, exactly.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there was a city council work session last night with exactly two items on the agenda. The first was the comprehensive plan, which has got to be coming really close to being done.
That's right. That was the main, one of the main reasons, again, continuing to come back to the council to do a touch point with them to kind of bring them along with the planning commission as they prepare the final document to be coming back to the city council for a recommendation tentatively. Mm-hmm. The 20th of February here next week, the planning commission will be reviewing it again, potentially bringing forward a recommendation to the council. And then as early as March, we might be starting to get some kind of final form of that. So the continuing to give updates on that, and there was a few areas of focus last night on the comprehensive plan just to draw some attention to see if there's any feedback from the city council.
So when this thing, as I understand it, then the council, not you guys, but the council will vote on final approval sometime in March, is that right?
Yeah, that's the current schedule. Now there could be a little more time needed, but tentatively that's the plan. The council could take it and ask for some more feedback on things, but I think that's the check-in on that. And again, it's an important document. Some of the things we talked about, I know you've had a lot of planning commissioners in, and Jake Riley, our community development director's in, talking about it. But again, I think like last night, the comprehensive plan's kind of looking out into the future about kind of where the city wants to be. The long-term plan of the community kind of says what our values are, what our goals are, refresh. I think it's about 20 years looking out on that plan. There is some, I would say there was a focus last night in particular on what's called the future land use map. And that's generally looking at, that is kind of a regulatory component of the document that I would say there's a lot of aspirational things about who we are as a community, what does Northfield want to be. So if you're kind of looking to move to a city, it's a good document to look at to see, what are the values? Are they a growth city? Do they kind of want to remain similar as they are today? How do they look? Is it residential? Is it more commercial mix? So that kind of outlines that. And I know they've talked a lot about kind of the update of that. Some areas of refocus are looking at equitable strategies on, serving the public, as well as some looking at climate goal changes are certainly a couple of things. But that land use map is ultimately looking at like how property would be used in the future. So it's a plan of general uses of things, like from a common standpoint might be, is this area planned to be residential in the future? Is it planned to be commercial? Is it a college area? What is the city's growth plans? What is the current boundaries? What is the potential ultimate final kind of growth boundary of the city planned, and what are priority kind of growth areas? So it's kind of looking out long term. So you tie that kind of long term vision of the use of property with the short term, which is called the zoning code in effect, or we call it land development code here, that includes that and some other things. That's more like immediately what's the plan for a piece of property. So an area to look at that would be in like the undeveloped areas. Like we have some areas in the northwest where we've got some planned industrial growth. I would say a lot of areas on the east side of town, and on the southeast side of town we have a lot of housing development areas. So the land use plan kind of is a document, is an important piece of the comprehensive plan to say what are those areas planned for. So over time, right from a regulation standpoint, if development comes in and says this property is ready to develop or redevelop for some other use, it has to be in compliance with that planned document, that long-term comprehensive planned land use has to be consistent. And then you also have to have the short-term zoning to match with it. And if you change your mind over time and want to shift some of those things around, you have to go through amendments to the document. There's some public participatory processes that have to happen for input to change it. So as I think of the comprehensive plan, one of the most important kind of components of that from a regulation and development of patterns of things is the land use map. So the council really kind of rolled up their sleeves in that area. Then I would say the other piece that they talked about a little bit was strategies, outcomes, and actions. It's kind of an implementation guidebook that's part of the strategic plan. So there are, you know, there are strategies of what are we trying to achieve that's in kind of the document, some outcomes about how what might be measurable data that we want to use to show if we're successful or not. An example might be you might have a strategy to add affordable housing, and an outcome might mean we're going to increase X percent of a number of new affordable housing units that are meeting certain market conditions. And then the action steps about ideas about flexible ideas about how you might achieve those outcomes as action steps that are contemplated today. So that as this dot over the, you know, over time, that this could be a reference document to look what might be some of the strategies. It's not meant to be a specific to-do list, but just kind of as giving some more practical advice about how some of these visionary issues might be getting implemented. So the council had some had a few different areas, probably more about clarifying some of those actions and what it means.
Yeah.
A couple of areas maybe on the land use map that they are asking some questions on, but I don't think there was a whole lot of heavy areas in particular drawn out.
So once it's passed, and assuming it passes, so it like you say, it's a long-term plan. It won't require any immediate shifts in policy, then, will it? I mean, there's the land use code, but the city won't have to change direction on anything, will you?
No, not like any immediate change, other than what you said. The future land use map is probably one component of that, but I think what that update will mean is that the guiding document of the city, a lot of the work that we do, there's some more clarifying values and statements that will inform things like we're planning to do a rewrite of that zoning code that I talked about how we regulate properties for development. It's kind of the rules of the game for people who want to do development, whether it's housing, whether it's commercial, redevelopment, industrial. That's scheduled for a rewrite this year. And that some of those values and goals would be incorporate from the comprehensive plan will inform those changes. I would also say we have the strategic plan coming. This document isn't going to, be here's your menu of options and you can only pick from those from the comprehensive plan. But we're coming right off of the heels of a public participatory process to get input on what are people saying and what are we hearing and what is the goal of the city that should be informing our strategic priorities, particularly since it's so fresh off of that process of getting feedback from the communities. And that really worked out great from a timing standpoint to put those two together. So I guess to answer your question, Rich, in some ways, not an immediate impact from kind of just a pure kind of how we do things immediately, but it will definitely be having an impact about how we do business.
Right. Betsy Buckheit, the strategies thing, Betsy Buckheit has been on this show saying the previous comprehensive plan, she calls it a bag of good ideas, which had no plan for implementation. The strategy thing. So, is that a new wrinkle to the comprehensive plan this year, or have we always done that? But are we just looking to maybe sharpen that up this time around?
My perception, but it's good that you talk to experts like the chair Betsy Buckheit. She's a phenomenal planning commissioner with a lot of experience. And our community development director in the planning commission, I would say they're the experts on that question. But I would say, as I've been following and reading these documents and tracking it, it is going to be a bit of a menu, but I think they're trying to refine it to be a little more realistic, a little more clear, and really be more intentional about clarifying what's trying to be achieved with some potential action steps to do that, which is kind of in the old document. But I think they're just trying to refine that, edit it down so that it's more readable, easier to understand, to kind of get through the document. And I personally like what I'm seeing.
That's
I think
great.
They've done a great job with it in combination with the consultants and then staff and the planning commission doing it. So I think it's definitely in a major improvement. And I think they've done good work so far and look forward to the final document.
Fantastic. Okay. So that was the first part of the meeting. According to Logan, the water treatment plan took up the majority of the meeting last night. This was really a presentation of options from the city, and then there was a conversation about it. Is that right?
Yeah. So we had about an hour and a half on the first item, and then I think we went two hours, I think, on the other. So we went a little long on that, on the water plant. But obviously a lot of information. The council at a prior meeting had rejected the bids for the new water plant. Didn't decide, like, where do we go from here related to it, because that was a lot to get to that conclusion that night. So we scheduled this work session to do a follow-up to it. Mainly what staff prepared as a background was they came back with four options for the city council kind of going forward, and what they think roughly what those costs might be associated with that and what the project scoping might change with that. So the first two options, I would say, were looking at going forward with a reverse redesigning the plant to take out the reverse osmosis components of that. It would still be treating the manganese, but wouldn't have some of the added benefits related to softening, kind of future-proofing the facility related to any other type of contaminants or regulatory direction that comes down, can help residents with their pipes, you know, longevity of pipes. It will reduce the amount of salt going into the river, that kind of a thing, by having that component. But when you looked at the cost to redesign, which is in the range of, it's going to cost about $200,000 to upwards of $900,000 to redesign the plant, because it's it's not just an addition, it's actually the way they have to design it. It's all, it really integrates together, which is why back when in 2020, when we were looking at the two options, we were hoping that we could kind of lock and make the decision on which way to go, because they're so integral to each other. So there's a cost to doing that, but there are sunk costs. And then on those two options, we had a number of different cost-saving measures in addition to that. So we made some assumptions about some value engineering that could be done, like maybe changing some of the construction finishes on the building, kind of held a placeholder for some of that. And then we had an option to take out the garage facility on one of the options, one to just serve the vehicles we have today. We have about six locations in town now where we store different equipment. So we wouldn't be able to then move those into a co-located place. So our water superintendent was estimating we probably, spend an hour or two a day just with people, you know, of a full-time staff person, just shifting around to get the equipment at different locations. So that would still have to continue. And then some other cost saving measures based on feedback that we got on the facility to say, okay, right now we would assume these cost savings, and then, we're looking at cost increases every month, somewhere between 0.5%, a little over a percent per month increase in construction costs that we're seeing in a time period, months to have to do the increase. Those two options actually, unfortunately, even with taking out these costs, both of those options are about 14, one's about $14 a month more than the current bid that was rejected, even though you're taking those things out. And the other one that has less things kind of cut out of them would be $17 more per month. So the idea of saying, well, if we take the reverse osmosis, would we have cost savings on it, is actually costing more because of the time and the redesign work that we have. So obviously if you're looking at cost as a driver of that, that's challenging. Now we did talk a little bit about, so that the range of that would mean average resident bill would be about $82 to $85 a month 5 years from now at the full phase in, basically, on those options, compared to the bid that was rejected at about $69 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, the increase there, I would say the one thing factored in with that, though, is you could take about $19 a month off of that if you took out the assumption that people wouldn't have to have softener systems in their homes. But the vast majority of people have water softeners and have salt. But again, if you're comparing, that was one of the main considerations to do a centralized reverse osmosis, was to be able to eliminate, in effect, most people having to have a water softener. A lot of people like it for washing clothes, for the other benefits of that. And so that would take that cost away. So if you wanted to take that out, it would be about $20 less a month, which would put you pretty close to what it is on the bid that's rejected. So it'd be a similar cost if you've just factored that out to the bid that's there. So that obviously isn't that's disappointing, right, to hear that information, but that's based on it. So we could go through a process to do that redesign to see if we could do better than that to reduce further costs. But based on what they did today with our consultants and staff, that's the current estimate that if we go through this process, that's where we think we will end up.
Right.
Maybe we hope for the better. We did also say, is there any, on all of these options, could we get more federal or state money?
And yeah.
Those are always options, but I think to be realistic, we've heard that we could potentially get, you know, a few million dollars more, maybe upwards of five or something more than that at the federal level. But again, as time goes on, the benefit of the grant that you get goes down the more that time goes past. And obviously there's a lot of uncertainty at the federal level right now around any kind of funding. And also we're seeing volatility in the markets likely to happen because these tariffs are going to basically... What most of the time what happens on tariffs are is that those costs are passed along to the consumers here at home. And so steel, as an example, was announced as a tariff. You're probably going to see prices go up on steel, which there's a lot of steel in the construction. So if we rebid it, there's a lot of volatility that's probably happening in that right now, and costs that are going up even more, being driven by some of those federal policy considerations happening. Kind of going through these, sorry, Rich, bear with me.
I'll try and
get through all these. So that those are the first two options that we looked at. The third option would be to do nothing. Basically, we'd build out the water lines to the site, put the project on hold. We have our future home of a water plant if a mandate comes down, because again, we don't have to do this right now. We don't have to treat the manganese in the water. The reason that we're doing it again is because studies have shown that that infants under 12 months, that there are learning disabilities that have been shown to be caused by these levels of manganese that we have in the water.
Right.
So it's not a mandate, but it's an advisory. So from the city standpoint, our official position is err on the side of caution. And our advice is that if you have children 12 months or younger, or pregnant women, should not be drinking the tap water unless they do some direct treatment. That is an option to continue to do that. We have some sunk costs on this project. With the other projects we have going on, the water bill on that one 5 years from now would be about $56 per month. So compared to that $82 one, or the bid, the ultimate bid that was rejected was about $69. So you'd save $13 a month, basically, or about $14 per month by not doing that project that was an opportunity to do that, compared to just kind of staying the course. So you would save some money, but it might not be as much that some people might be thinking because of other projects we have going on. Now, again, that does assume in those costs that there's $19 per month that that we could have saved if we had that centralized system. Some people might argue, well, there are people that don't have those systems, which is true. But I think the vast majority of people typically are going to have those in-house costs. So that goes to the last option, which is, even though the council rejected bids, there could be a opportunity of a window that's closing to say, if one of those that voted against the project, supported the rejection of the bids, changed their mind, there could be a motion to rescind, but would have to come at the next meeting on Tuesday to rescind that, to reconsider that project, and they could still re-award it. There are some legal questions around that and issues that are, you know, a little challenging since you rejected the bids, but our attorneys have reviewed some of the case law and background on that and would be prepared to say that that would be a defensible option if the council wants to do that. And the contractor, who was the low bid, we had two low bids that were pretty close together, which again, we think helped justify that the numbers were actually good, even though we were disappointed how much higher they were than our estimate. We believe those are the reality that we're in right now, the market conditions. So that would be an option. It's in question right now. The mayor and I are going to be meeting on kind of finalizing the agenda. The council, we didn't kind of finalize whether or not it would be on the agenda or not next week. We heard some feedback by some of the folks on the council that were there that had voted against it, but they voted to support the rejection of bids, but that still might be an option on the table next week. But if we end up doing that, it would be on the posted agenda that we would do that, that would come out today or tomorrow.
Sure.
With that. So a lot more background on that, and that's a lot to probably kind of digest over the radio. Sorry.
You kept answering all the follow-up questions I wanted to ask. My biggest one is, have those bids expired? I mean, it sounds like they will but we've got a little bit of time if we want to go back.
Yeah, there's a period of time that just so happens to end on Tuesday, basically, that the original bidding documents were good through that time period. So again, we have council rules of business that are adopted that kind of follow Robert's rules that do have the ability to rescind, that you have to do it, within a certain time period. You have to have a notice with it if you're going to have a simple majority approval of it. So it would require just a simple majority to pass so that would still be an alternative, and we've heard from the low bidder that they would honor the bid even though they were rejected on that at the time.
That was my next question. Have you been in contact with those folks? Yeah, I want to just real quick ask again about the not doing anything option.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing came about because there were obvious concerns. Even if we are not required to build a drinking water treatment plant, there were obvious concerns. What's at stake if we don't do anything? I mean, it's besides the fact that we're out X amount of money on the design of the project. What are we looking at? I mean, what does Northfield look like without this thing moving forward?
Well, and I shouldn't say it's not a do nothing option. We've acquired the property. I think we've got a good solid plan. Comparison to the Spring Creek location that we had, it was a smaller site that was closer to homes, and we heard from people that there were concerns. So this is a larger piece of property. We have a water tower there. We have some wells planned there. And we would be extending some sewer lines there. I would also say a piece I didn't talk about was we had federal dollars, a little over $3 million that we got to put towards this project. And we are looking at trying to keep that money no matter what for a project.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to them about, we have earmarked next year a plan for water tower construction. We are kind of on the fence whether we would actually build it dependent on development needs. But that would be a site. The Corps of Engineers have to manage that project, and that's complicated everything because we had to almost kind of piece off enough of the project in order for them to manage just that component, because we couldn't just blend it in like we normally get grants, like from the state, where the city can just get a grant during or after the fact, for a project. In this case, the federal requirements are that they have to lead it through the beginning to the end, which is why it was a little weird. We had them handling the purchase of a lot of these reverse osmosis equipment was our way to kind of get around that on the plant. But even if we choose to go with the alternative to continue to look at the gravity filtration only plant, the time and complexity of that isn't going to make it work well with the federal dollars. We recommended to the council to shift that over to the water tower to bring that cost down. There will still be a local match, but our rates can handle that. Currently in those numbers that I talked about. So I didn't hear any opposition to that idea last night. So that will probably be the direction we'll continue to work with the Corps of Engineers on that option. But where we go from here, that project would likely then we'd be continuing to come back on shifting that. And if we didn't, we might still look at, hey, if there's any likely large grants that could become available, we could look at doing that. And then if some money came available, maybe we initiate that facility redesign if we get some more grant awards, and it can bring those costs down. I don't want to create false expectations, though. I would say that's a outside chance to have substantial amounts of dollars come in. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's technology changes that happen in the future that could bring the cost down on that. Generally, though, costs on construction are just going to continue to go up. If you look historically, they don't typically go back. Sometimes on the short term, there can be market adjustments on things, but
you got to hit that right, though,
longer term, there's that issue. So I think the main... There are, a number of benefits to having that treated water, but, we've been having it without it today.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing is I believe we really have a responsibility to educate the public on how they can treat the water if they have infants under 12 months or younger, or pregnant women, making sure our healthcare providers make sure that people that live here, that we really get the communication out on a regular basis. And there are, you can have your own reverse osmosis system, probably not likely to run your water softener to your drinking supply because people don't like the saltiness of that. So that's why your softener doesn't typically lead right to your drinking faucet, unless you have an RO system to take that out, but that wouldn't make sense to do that. Or bottled water, or, get your water somewhere else for baby formula or that kind of a thing is I think it would be the most important thing that we focus focus on, and then we'd have the opportunity to revisit the project in the future. So that would be probably what we would do with that option of kind of just putting the project on hold and not pursuing anything on at least the short term.
Okay. All right. Well, that's as comprehensive a conversation as we're going to get from on the water treatment plant.
Yeah. Obviously, big project, tons of complexity.
Yeah.
We have counselors that are asking the right questions. These are big decisions and important issues to consider. And so we're trying to work through those with the council on that. So
there might be a vote on it next week. There might not be.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Okay.
Follow KYMN and you'll know if it'll
be on. That's true.
Logan is all over the story, yeah. That's for sure. All right, Ben Martig, Northfield City Administrator, thanks so much. We do appreciate your time as always.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right.